All right. Good evening, good day, whatever time you're listening to this. Thank you for being here. This is our Monday evening call with random topics. I know tonight we're going to be talking about, we continue talking about how the gods created our universe. So that's going to be quite interesting again. It is Monday, September 28th. My name is Gijs Minderhout. I'm located in Magalia, California. I welcome you all. This is as usual. It's simulcast with a conference call. When the people are here already, more people joined in the last minute. I welcome you all. If you have a chance, please say your name and location.
Hi, Robert from North Carolina.
I picked out Robert. Hi, Robert.
Hello.
Thank you for being here. Who else?
Jeannie in Citrus Heights, California.
Good evening to you, Jeannie. Welcome to the call.
Thank you, Heise.
All right.
And Terry in Dallas.
Good evening to you, Terry, and welcome.
Hello, thank you.
All right. More joined in. Welcome. If you have a chance, please say your name and location.
Good evening, Heise. It's Eric in Santa Fe. Good
evening, hi, everyone. Eric. Welcome to the call.
Thank you, Heise.
Thank you for being here.
Hello to all those who came in.
Hello.
Hi, hi Donna.
Hi,
hey there.
Hello.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Carolyn, an undisclosed location.
All right, Carolyn. Well, I know you're on this planet.
That's great.
Maybe, maybe not.
Good evening to the next caller. Please say your name and location.
Yeah, Rick, Iowa City.
Hi, Rick. Welcome to the call.
Hi. How's it going?
All right, man. Awesome.
Well, hello to all those who came in.
And also to those who are joining in online through BBS Radio. Thank you so much for being here. In the meantime, we are past the clock of 6 Pacific, and our host, Wynn, will be here shortly, I hope.
He went to Neptune today. It might take him a little longer.
Right, right. So, but again, the announcement email is stating that tonight, again, we will be talking about a beautiful subject on how the Elohim created the universe. I welcome the next caller here on the phone. Please say your name and location.
From Wisconsin.
He's from Wisconsin.
Hi, Aaron.
Welcome
Hello.
To the call, Aaron. And I welcome the next caller. You only have to say your name.
Hi, it's Wynn. It's Wynn.
Hello, Wynn.
Hi, Wynn.
Hi, Wynn.
Hi, Wynn.
Hi, is that Aaron who's been emailing me?
Hey, that's a good question. That's him.
Yeah, that's me, Wynn. That's Aaron from Wisconsin.
Hi, Aaron.
Hi. How are you doing?
Now you're in big trouble checking into this call, you know.
You never, ever ask this question, Aaron. Sorry.
The people that come into this call end up crazy.
How is that what happened?
I think I'm already there.
actually, I don't know. Maybe they end up sane. I don't know.
Yeah, better.
It's all a matter of where you're looking from. Is Terry there?
Yeah.
Hello, Terry.
Hello.
Hi, Terry.
Hi, Terry.
It's not you doing the dishes, Terry, right?
No, it's not me.
Okay, good, good, good. I'm glad to have you here, Terry. Thank you so much.
Okay.
And is Chris here?
Memphis Chris has not checked in yet.
Okay. Is Fred here?
All right.
Fred. No Fred, right?
You talking about Fred?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were asking for bread from your kitchen.
No.
Oh, Fred is not here.
For all of you are listening, for the first time on the Internet, yes, we are a bunch of nuts, and I don't know how to do these calls unless we're not. I'm nuts. It's just kind of, it goes with the territory, because here we are doing something. I didn't know how this was going to work out, but we've been doing it now for years. You know, more and more people keep showing up, and it's out of the reality system of the real world. And it wasn't easy to do something publicly like this that's outside of the reality system. So some people are going to listen in. And I'll tell you that you can't have
all callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
All right, we can start the tape. All right, go ahead.
This conference is being recorded.
This is September 29th, 2015.
28th.
Wynn, 28th, September 28th. Wynn and Terry in Sedona, Arizona, and everybody everywhere. And, you know, we have these sources that say they're paying attention to us. And I can't really give them a location because they're not in this realm. And we were just talking before we started the tape recorder about how, by normal reality standards, this is quite crazy. I mean, we meet on this call. We've been having conversations through Terry with an intelligence that says they're in another dimension. And they say they created the universe. We ask them questions. They tell us how they did it. people feel energy on the call. People can feel energy coming in through their chakra systems. Now, it's not going to happen usually right at the beginning of the call. And it doesn't happen when you're sitting there and say, all right, I want to feel energy. Jimmy, come on. Give me your best. It doesn't work that way. The energy comes in when you're not looking, when you're distracted. Have you noticed? And then oftentimes, I mean, I've been observing this. I didn't know how this was going to work. I didn't know what was going to. I'm not doing this because I wanted something to happen. I'm doing it because I watched it work, and I said, hey, I think it's really working. I think this is really happening. And then we kept having phenomena and little miracles and funny pink glows and pictures and amazing information. And then other people, when they're off the call, start having those experiences. And so it's a matter of putting all the data together and saying, is this really happening? Could I be making it up? Am I being hypnotized? There's no control agendas. People can come and go. We don't charge people. Who's making noise, Terry? You're jiggling your microphone. We don't charge people for the work we're putting out. And for a while, I couldn't figure out how to make it work because I didn't want to charge people, but we didn't have enough money. So we started offering products to the people that are coming into the calls that are really good products, that unusual products that you probably never heard of. We always sell them as cheaply as we can and with a money-back guarantee. So whether you buy them or not, buy them because you've heard about them, and people tend to trust me. So if I recommend something and I tell you about it, I'll never exaggerate or I'll never do something just to make a sale. And, of course, our latest phenomenal product is the ozone. Wellness Oz, it's a little ozone generator.
that allows you to ozonate water, put it through your skin, and in short, everyone on this planet is depleted of oxygen because the oxygen in the atmosphere has depleted itself tremendously over the last 100, 200 years, and it's still going down. And your whole system functions on oxygen, your blood supply, your organs. Oxygen also kills pathogens. When you get oxygen in you, things tend to go away, disappear, viruses, different things. And, of course, I've mentioned this, that in Russia and in Germany, ozone therapy is approved for doctors. And there's quite a record of it curing cancer and AIDS. And supposedly Magic Johnson used ozone therapy to heal himself of AIDS, but he couldn't say it because it's such a powerful therapy that it's illegal to sell it or to use it, you know, to make a claim that it cures anything in this country. So we're not selling a medical device. We're selling a home unit. They're very popular in Europe. And you make ozonated water and drink it. And thus far, most people are noticing an immediate boost of energy just by drinking the ozonated water. And one woman, I'm not selling this for any health reason, but I'm just reporting this. One woman who's a regular on our calls said it immediately started reducing some of her diabetic symptoms, and her sugar, something went up in her blood. The pain in her legs started to get less. It's not that it fixed her, it didn't cure her, but some of the irritating symptoms, her thinking got clearer, got better. So I've been testing it, and last week we did an infomercial, and of the people that bought them, please send me your results. Make sure you use it every day. Thus far, most people that I have been personally connected to have felt that something instantly, that when you drink the water, it's kind of like, try to explain, it's kind of like energy moving through your body into your heart, down your body, and more alertness. And that would make sense because if you're getting more oxygen into your system, there's a lot of sophisticated things that happen. But I'm not going to say it. You can check the internet and just look up ozone therapy or ozone water, and you can read other people's testimonials. And but get one. It's like there's a 30-day trial period. If you don't have any results like this, just send it back, and we'll send your money back. But in any case, so we sell products like that that I truly believe are going to enhance people's lives. And, you know, we're getting enough people buying them so that we can keep chugging along and do this. And on our Elohim connection, we, by and large, give that away for free. And occasionally there'll be a workshop or something, and I never deny anybody access that doesn't have any money to anything. I mean, physical objects, yes. And even physical objects, you know, there's times when I'll send something to someone because I know it might change their life. And I don't charge them for it. And to my own ability to be able to afford to do that. Because just like you, just like all of us, we have to make it in this world one way or another.
And we can't give as much as we want to. It's hard to give to someone else out of your deficit. You've got to give out of your excess. So the more excess we have, the more we can give back. And tonight I was going to do another of our series, How the Elohim Created the Universe. And this is one of our most fascinating Monday night calls, and we're going to channel. Let me just make Terry? Hello, Terry. Are you there? Are you unmuted?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm unmuted.
I just want to make sure you're up to it. Are you up to it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I look forward to going over to the other side right now.
You do it. Getting out of here, you mean?
Yeah, getting out of all the shipping routines, the boring shipping routines.
Right. Terry has been putting together the boxes and shipping these things out. And you know what? She doesn't really have the qualifications to be a great shipping agent, but she's
paint drying.
Paint drying. Yeah. thank you. I'm not. You know what? But I'll bet you there's very few shipping agents out there that are able to talk to the Elohim, right? So everyone has their speciality, and you know. Sorry to have to put you through this. But
at the end of the day, you know, I'm like so proud. I like I shipped two today.
So if we make enough money, we will fire Terry. And we let her do what she's best at. And but in the meantime, you know, it's not too often people get packages coming from former saints, right? So.
Well, there's a lot of love goes into it. That's right.
That's right. But this is definitely one of the most important products I've ever put out. And I'll just tell you, I got the idea I've known about ozone therapy for many years. And at one point I had a machine and somebody stole it. And then I didn't buy another one. But I loved drinking the ozonated water. And I had studied it. I studied it years ago. And I knew it was legit. And then about a year and a half ago, I said, I think it's really important to have an ozone machine right now, particularly when you read about Ebola, you read about potential viruses dropping from chemtrails. And so I actually built a machine. Remember, I used to be a ham radio operator. I used to build transmitters in my bedroom when I was in high school. So it's just one of my hidden aptitudes that I hate to tell people about, because then I'll be asked to fix everything.
I was a ham, too, and I asked you to fix everything.
Yeah, but you weren't building your own transmitters in your bedroom, right?
No.
I built a 1,000-watt amplifier from scratch. I drilled the chassis out, you know. Followed a schematic, and it worked, you know?
I bought a thousand-watt transmitter.
You did?
Yeah.
You were just, wasn't that illegal for you? You were just a novice.
I only went on the novice hand. Antenna was grounded, so I couldn't ever talk to anybody for 6 months.
Yeah, it sounds like you. It sounds like you, right? All right.
I was so afraid of getting on the air, but by 6 months, nobody answering, it was no big deal. I just get on.
I started building some ozone. I built one for myself, and then I said, okay, maybe I'll just make it available to the group. And I built a few of them. And, you know, Robin has one of those, and I haven't even checked with her. And I asked her, how's it working? And she said, it's been amazing on her diabetes symptoms. I sent that testimonial out today. She has more energy. Her neuropathy, the pain in her legs, is lessened. She's thinking clearer. Her gastro stomach pain is reduced. And that was one of the machines that I built. And I started to sell them, but then I thought, I don't have time to do it. It's not my highest purpose to sit around building these machines. And so I kind of stopped even talking about it. And I was selling them for $200, and it was too much work to make the $200, you know, after I paid for the expenses. So it's been on my back burner, and, you know, we've been doing business with China, with appendants. And so I found a machine in China that I could sell for less, far less than $200. And I put the website up, and it's like, if you use the discount code, it's $99 plus $15 shipping. And, I mean, you can use it for your whole family. Everybody, I'm happy to get a report that doesn't work for somebody. But so far, no reports. Everyone loves it. Everyone has had, not only loves it, has had breakthrough results with it. And I hope they don't all break. We're giving it a year guarantee. If they all break, the factory gives us a year guarantee. And if they all break, Terry and I are going to have to go into hiding. Okay.
No, Ben, what's the code?
What?
What is the discount code?
Infinity. It's listed on the web at $129, and it's like well worth that, you know. And I'm getting it at a price where we can make a good. I'm amazed at the prices I can get these things for, but we can make good profit. It comes with accessories. It comes with all the stuff you need to diffuse water. You know, I've learned things like I love spraying ozonated water on my face, and so we've included a sprayer. I've never heard anyone talk about that in all my research on ozone. But I won't see how other people like it. It's like the most refreshing thing. It wakes me up. It's probably really good for your skin. It even works on other parts of my body that get fatigued. So you have to try spraying. I want to get reports on the spraying of the ozonated water. And then it comes with a funnel where you can put it against your skin, and it just... It's good for your skin and for the blood flow near your skin surface. It puts it into your blood. And Fred Brooks, who we've had on our show, who does healing, just got his, and he's loving it. And Colleen got hers, and she's loving it. And we'll still hear from some of the people. So take a look and get one. In fact, I'll make a deal with you guys. Now, remember, I'm a salesman. So I'm being a salesman. Forgive me. That doesn't mean I can't talk to the Elohim. Why do you think they like me? Because I can bring them out into the public. Anyone who orders in the next 24 hours on our group, we're going to include a free auto-ozone, which we've been selling for $19.95. We're just going to throw it in the box. So you get it for $99, and you get a free auto ozone. And that's my finish of my commercial today. It's not really a commercial. I'm telling you guys something that you're going to be, I suspect most of you are going to be really glad that I recommended this. So if you're not, just send it back. But this is one of those technologies that you would probably never hear about unless you're on our group. So now we're the Elohim created the universe. I know I'm talking a lot and we didn't get right to it. Hang on a second. And it is 6:24. So I'd like to give a 5-minute introduction because we know there's some new people listening. And since this has been ongoing, I'll have to say enough so that the new people can track it. And it's I think if you go in our archives, if you do a search on how the Elohim created the universe, and I'll give you a tip. If you do a search on the Spirit Channel, put quotation marks around the, I think quotation marks around the entire church. God.
Search.
I'm getting dyslexic.
Uh-oh.
Put quotation marks around the search. That way, it will have to find the whole phrase. If you put in how the Elohim created the universe, it'll look up everything that has how, everything that has Elohim, everything that has universe, and it'll be useless. So you have to put quotation marks around it, and you'll get probably at least 12 calls in our archives. And it's a really good way to evaluate our sources and see, man, how do they know that? How do they say that? So specific about the whole thing. And basically, I'm going to give the little introduction here. Originally, there was chaos. And out of chaos became awareness. The first awareness they call the one infinite creator. The first awareness was not God. It was an awareness. It was a consciousness. And it got lonely and it kept subdividing itself. And now there's like 100,000 or a million of awarenesses, but there's no bodies. There's just energy units. And these original awarenesses were the Elohim. And the Elohim said, took on the challenge of how do we create persistence? Because there was no persistence. Everything was in the moment. And so they combined, I'm not going to try to explain this so you understand it, but in some way they could create frequencies and they could focus their frequencies at a common point and there would be nodes, and this was a very precise mathematical thing, and the nodes became beginnings of points of space-time, i.e. the beginning of matter. Keep in mind that they were creating time as well as they were creating space. Time is not an absolute. As much as it may seem like an absolute in this realm, it is not an absolute. And in fact, many people notice when we do these calls that time goes fast. It's distorted. It's like you hop on the call and the end of it, it's over, and you say, wow, was that 2 hours? Was that 1 hour? That's an example of what happens when you connect with these sources, that they come in, and if you allow their energy to connect with you, time suddenly goes really fast. And that's an indication that you yourself have moved your consciousness to a higher dimension. And so now they were creating all these points of physical reality, and they created a beginning, and then the points of physical reality would interact with each other, and they would continue the creation via their interaction with each other. And then some of the Elohim took bodies in this realm probably a long, long time ago, and they actually, in this realm, because there were possessions, it was a different kind of a game than in the higher realms. In the higher realms, there's no possessions, and everyone could be aware that they were all part of each other, And there was no compromise in that awareness because there was nothing to gain by being separate. But in this realm, on Earth, there was the awareness, because of possession, people started to treat each other as they were separate from each other, that there was no law of one, that it was dog-eat-dog, and suddenly the realm started to deteriorate, and even the Elohim souls that took bodies in this realm would deteriorate because they didn't remember that they were Elohim souls at that point. They only knew, just like all of us, we show up here, going through the birth canal tends to destroy the memory. And so all of us, some of you listening here on this call today, I'd be willing to bet, are Elohim souls, and you didn't have a clue. But there is a criteria. You know, some of you are Ra souls, some of you are Elohim souls. And there is a criteria. Elohim souls tend to be artistic. They tend to be mathematical, geometric. Ra souls tend to be psychic. They tend to be more practical. They have certain wisdom of this realm that Elohim souls don't when they come in. So this is, you know, a whole new perspective on the idea of God, because I don't think it gets any higher than the Elohim, and yet they don't want to be worshipped. They want to be our friends from another level, and that because they're from a higher dimension, they can connect with us, and they can actually love us from their vantage point, and we can feel the energy of that love, as many people have who are on this call. So let's get started, Terry. You ready?
Ready as I'll ever be.
Ready as I'll ever be, all right. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect Terry and myself and everyone on this call, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls, and we invite those sources that are positive, service to other, honoring the law of one, to join with us. We create a protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
Yes. This is spot on. We are a combination of the certain aspects of the Ra group and certain aspects of the Elohim group who have come together particularly for this group of people to assist where we can in answer questions. And we are not a fixed number or a fixed group of entities, as this can change depending upon the questions asked. The entities within the Elohim group and the Ra group are come forward as the answer to the question best suits something that they can personally answer. Do you have questions?
Yes. Did you create us, or are we creating you?
Did we create you? No. Did you create us. No. You are all aspects of God, the one infinite creator. And you have discovered, each one of you, the trick to exist in the physical universe. You personally discovered the trick, which is that you start out not as chaos, but you start out as nothing, and then an awareness. But in order to be aware, you have to have something to be aware of. If there's nothing to be aware of, then it is nothing. So when you become aware and there is something to be aware of, how does that happen? When you learn, as aspects of God did, as we did in the beginning, to fold ourselves over, to move our energy into a condensed space, and then fold ourselves over so that there is two instead of one, then there is something for us to be aware of. And one discovered this trick, and two discovered this trick, and many discovered this trick, and life began, awareness of something began, and then creativity began, and it was discovered that when the spinningnesses occurred, if one would spin the energy after becoming aware, that then within the spinningnesses, that strands of DNA would develop, and these strands would become sometimes very, very long, and then other energies, portion wave energies, can move in around them and can form and begin to create life forms. Somebody asked if the universe was seeded throughout it. It was not seeded by spreading sperms around. It was seeded.
I'm sorry, it was seeded, not seeded by what? I didn't understand the word.
It was not seeded by spreading seeds or sperm all over the place. That is only a very rough idea. It was seeded by spinningnesses. Once there is spinning of space, and the spinning begins to focalize the consciousness of the one infinite creator, so that within that one spinningness, consciousness begins to develop. And then the certain aspects of the Elohim who had come in first began to observe. They began to observe light. And they went, wow, look at that. We spun some space. And look at all these lights beginning to show in the space. And this began a great game. It wasn't something, okay, now we're going to do this or that. No, it was just a game. Like, look what we can do. We can spin the space and we can see all these lights beginning to emerge. And it was the spinningness of the strands of DNA that were beginning to create consciousness. And the consciousness, then some of these Elohim that came in were looking at that and said, maybe we can form this into images to, we can form it into something that we can have as a vision. And then they began to say, okay, well, it can be round or it can be oblong, and then they started to form it and see other ones spontaneously form into amoeba and small parts of life. And then it gradually began to develop that these forms of life could be put together, the Elohim and the first ones to have consciousness began to say, we can take our vision and we can begin to move these elements together, the DNA together, and see what happens. And gradually they built up life forms. And as life forms build, then the life forms start moving. We can create, we can make gene pools, we can clone, we can make little units. And so then they noticed that planets were developing within the galaxies, and solar systems and suns were developing, and that these all had a consciousness. They were spinning entities, and they had a consciousness. And noticed that in the spinning Earth, say, that there were spirits that were set to watch over other areas. They assigned themselves areas to watch over. And then when rivers would come through, it would sort of break in the middle of their scene that they were watching over, and break them up, and they wouldn't know quite what to do with that. So you have the Indians, some of the Hopi, thinking, all right, we don't want rivers or running water or irrigation to happen because it's breaking up the spirit watchers that are protectors. And so you have different cultures developing different ways of looking at all of this. Does this answer some of your questions? We do not hear you.
Everything in the universe spins. Nothing is static. The Earth spins,
everything
it rotates.
Everything is in motion.
And even down to our bodies, where we have atoms, that electrons are spinning around something in the center, and planets are spinning around the sun, and galaxies are in motion. It's all spinning.
Yes, storms are spinning. Tornadoes are spinning, hurricanes are spinning, and they have a consciousness, which is a condensed from the all that is condensed energy, Christian wave energy, that begins to coagulate and begins to have a consciousness.
So this relates directly to the Elohim's first cause of creating spinningness, or frequency.
Yes.
And
yes.
As I understand it, the Elohim are extremely mathematical and precise, and
they could
kind of gauge in advance what might happen when something spins, and how that would affect. And so
they can, us, the Elohim, and we're coming through as a translation unit, so we're a dumbed-down version here. But we, as the Elohim, can look at all of the equations at one time, and we can factor them all in. It is beyond the comprehension of a human mind in third density. When we first started to come through, we tried to present this nonlinear viewpoint of all these different equations and how they all work together. However, it was beyond the comprehension of the channel because it took into so many factors and differential equations and connecting of one portion of the body with the DNA, with the putting it all together. It takes complex equations to put it all together, and so it's like we think that way. And however, when we come through here, we come through the dumbed down version through our translation unit that we set up to talk with you.
Mm-hmm. Now, a human is a part of all of this energy. And
yes.
Operates on it. And I would guess that humans create spinningness even when they don't know they're doing it. And
well, the body creates the molecules within the body are spinning,
right.
The chakras are spinning, and it all holds it all together.
When a human creates a very high intention, do they create spinningness in the field through their intention?
They are in a field that is spinning. So when they have an image or vision, it can be picked up and spun within the field. It doesn't necessarily spin. Like if one creates a two-dimensional vision, it will appear and disappear. And so they need to put it there for a little while for it to image. But is it spinning? Not necessarily, but if it is integrated into the chakras and into the Earth orbit and into the star orbit, it's like it is the effect of a lot of different spinnings.
Mm-hmm. Now, there are certain people of spiritual orientation that consciously use spinningness. For example, whirling dervishes, Sufis, who for thousands of years have these dances where they spin. There's people...
They use it as a way to reach God, which is a go ahead.
So that actually can work then, whirling.
That can work, however, there are two ways to spin, clockwise and counterclockwise. Counterclockwise, it tends to remove one from their connection with the third density and move them more into the God realm. Spinning in the clockwise direction tends to keep their body together better and to heal and to connect them with the things around them better and their life
mm-hmm.
better.
Okay. And, also, when I've heard people talk about the idea of spinning fields, and that's called Merkaba spinning, that There's clockwise and there's counterclockwise, and there's magnetic fields and there's electrical fields that are around a human, and that to some people use this whole idea of spinningness, and it creates actually a negative connection in higher realms, that negative sources would want humans spinning in such a way that doesn't connect them to source, but connects them to a higher level of negative. Is that fairly accurate?
Well, they can set up within some of the major public buildings spinning energies that when the person walks in and their chakras are spinning in a clockwise direction, and it tends to nudge their chakras to spin in a counterclockwise direction, they can feel dispersed when moving into a large building. And then people that do not wish to be affected by this use jewelry so that it can maintain the correct spin of their chakras. So pay attention when you walk into a large building if you feel disoriented, because it can be affecting you.
In other words, it can be an intentional spinningness put on by the negative, by the negative that
disperses people in the field.
Yeah. So if you can walk into an environment that has that spin on it and get caught up in it very easily, right?
Well, you can disperse and feel sick or dizzy.
Yeah. Now, you know, we know that Elohim souls came into this realm when they initially started interfacing with the consciousness in this realm. They were going back and forth. Is that right? They could manifest in some way. When they manifested,
they could see a body and say, "Hey, I wonder what it would be like to occupy that body." And so they did. They would come down to occupy the body to experience things like sex and to experience these body phenomena. And then you get into the veil when you start to do that, because the body consists of molecules, genetic fields, and you begin to take on those fields, and so you begin to be made like expressing different aspects that aren't you, and genetic from the ancestors, and you begin to forget, because you are duplicating what you're copying, your new body cells and genetics, and so you forget. Like, and some people don't forget, and they have memories, and so they say, like, I was a pilot. I was a pilot, and the parents go, "Well, you're actually daydreaming, kid." You know, it's like, so the parents tend to push it aside when a child does remember. But then as the person gets more into this life and more into the experiences of growing up, the memories of the past life tend to fade.
Now, as I recall, and when I read Edgar Cayce, it was indicated that he didn't use the word Elohim, but I believe he was talking about the Elohim, that they came into this realm and they would occupy bodies and they could go back and forth until they had a sexual experience in the body they were occupying, and that would bind them into a trap in this realm, the karma of this realm. Is that fairly accurate?
Well, it is a fairly profound experience that the individual then has within their field to as a reference, and they tend to put that forward more than the idea of going back to their home.
Are Elohim still coming into this realm, Elohim souls now, and taking on bodies?
Every now and then someone comes in that thinks that they can help to forward the consciousness of the people, and they make the brave move to come in and to see. They don't know when they come in what the experience is like of being in the realm and forgetting who you are when you are connected with all of the molecules and cells and memories, genetic memories of the genetic entity of the body. They don't have the experience of that, so they can't quite imagine that they're going to forget, but then it takes them over very often.
You know, is it similar to the idea that something that happens, men and women can suddenly engage in a new relationship, and they think they're going to really love somebody, but they end up actually, particularly if you have a higher consciousness person, and this is not to make a judgment or say one is better than the other, everyone's on their own track, but if a higher consciousness person, an older soul, goes into a intimate relationship with a lower consciousness person, the higher consciousness person, from my experience, has to contract so that they can be familiar to the other person, because the higher...
It can be frustrating because the lower consciousness person, they hope will be a good companion, and then the lower consciousness person will not be able to understand the concepts, and so the person feels more isolated.
So then the higher consciousness person can feel trapped in the situation.
Yes.
Yeah.
They can feel.
And I imagine if an Elohim soul comes into this realm, it would be very easy for any higher dimensional soul that comes into this role, because they're coming in at such a high level, they can't find anything to reflect it back, so they end up feeling trapped. And
or
ultimately,
frustrated,
or
it can go many ways. They can think, well, they have to be very creative and think of a way to get it across.
Okay, well, you know what? We've finished the end of our call. This was really, really interesting. And thank you so much for answering our questions. Anything you want to say before we close?
We so appreciate each and every one of you and the opportunity to bring our communication within and to eat and give it to each and every one of you.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. And we'll see you Wednesday when people submit their questions. And on that note,
all callers are unmuted. All callers are unmuted.
Catherine.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so
Very
much.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you, Wynn. Good night, all. Thank you.
Thank you, Wynn. Thank you, Terry.
Good night, Seattle.
The conference recording has stopped.